Well, hi there, race fans. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Report for Tuesday, March the 1st. On today's show, we'll talk with the current World of Outlaws points leader, Steve Kinzer, and the current USAC National Sprint Car points leader, Damian Gardner. That's coming up next here on the Sprint Car Report, here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Today's broadcast is brought to you in part by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located at Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, and Kinzer Air Filters, made in the USA. We'll be back, and we'll chat with Steve Kinzer right after this.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa, is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open-wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
Welcome back, race fans, to the Sprint Car Report here on the Dirt Track Channel. And we're now joined on the road by the king of the Outlaws, Steve Kinzer. Steve, always a pleasure to talk with you. How are you today?
Oh, doing pretty good.
Well, you guys have gotten off to a really hot start. 3 wins, 4 top 5s, 5 top 10s. What's been the key to this Bass Pro Shop Tony Stewart Racing start for you guys?
Well, we definitely got off to a really good start. Winning 3 out of the first 4 and running second the other one, and you know, I had a little stumble, but not too bad. I don't know. We've just been some changes. Everybody, all the guys worked hard at the shop, Scott, and Mikey and Gary, and they're getting rewarded for a little bit.
I mean, you know these tracks really well, but have you gotten off to this great of a start any time in the previous years in your career?
I'm always a pretty slow starter, actually. We have started pretty good. In Florida before, especially in Volusia, we've always run decent there. You know, back in the earlier years, we used to start off down at Gibson, always had some trouble there. Sometimes when we started in California a lot, the same thing. So some of the stuff was a little slow start. We just, it has been a great start for us. You can't complain about the way we got started anyways.
And now you head off to Las Vegas. Tell us a little bit about racing at this Las Vegas dirt track.
Well, it's a track I normally run pretty good on. I feel real comfortable going in there. Of course, I've said that about tracks and wouldn't have trouble, but I enjoy running the half-mile tracks a lot. Probably a lot more so. At least a good 3/8 mile or a half to me is the funnest tracks to run on. Some of the little bitty short tracks they got in California. Other than we get to go back to Calistoga, looking forward to that. You never know what's going to happen in those.
Yeah, you guys have a pretty grueling stretch after the Vegas races this Wednesday and Thursday. 5 races in California. But speaking of the little tracks, for the first time in 11 years, you get to go back to your roots there at Bloomington. What's that going to be like to be able to go back and race at Bloomington Speedway later this year?
It's not any different to me, you know what I mean? Some of them smaller quarter-mile tracks, it's tracks that you can either have a good night or a bad night. There's no in-betweens, it seems like. We haven't ran Bloomington for a long time. We've been really doing really good at Evansville. It's a track I always run really good on for a little high-bank short track. It's a great track. But Bloomington's always been, I'd be right there to win races, or I could run the middle of the pack. You never know what's going to happen. I think it's about the same for everybody sometimes.
I mean, you know, everybody knows you grew up in Indiana. You grew up on the short tracks watching your dad and everybody race there, and now here you are all these years later as arguably the greatest sprint car driver in the world. What is it about that Indiana bull ring racing that helped you be prepared to – go on these grueling long stretches of racing you do nowadays with the World of Outlaws?
Well, I think I got used to it from the time we started '78 traveling. It's something we did a lot. And, you know, we see a lot of short tracks anymore, more so than we do. A lot of the old fairgrounds tracks through the Midwest have sort of shut down and they turned them into 3/8 mile tracks and stuff like that. So we always hate to lose those. But, you know, just the amount of racing you do, I think, is probably helping as much as anything. And it don't hurt that I've always been able to keep myself, never drove for a lot of different people and, you know, go for Carl and myself and now Tony. So I've actually only been in with 3 race teams the whole career and been fortunate enough to have good people behind all those, and that's kept me in good equipment. That's probably been the best part of all of it.
Do you think that's something that's missing in today's modern age, Steve, the fact that you see drivers will have a ride for a couple of years, then maybe they go to another team, maybe they go back to the team they were with and then back to other teams? Do you not see them as much consistency in a driver and a team staying together as we have seen from back in the old days?
Well, I think some of the race teams, some of the car owners and some of the race teams are starting to figure out now that they need to really really put some time together and instead of pointing at different people and at the shop and different ways of things going about, is to really dig down and work together. And if it takes a couple years to get it figured out, it takes a couple years. You know what I mean? A lot of race teams won't give each other that much time between mechanics. There's a lot of pressure. Everybody, the driver's got a lot of pressure on them and put a lot of pressure on herself. And, you know, a car owner spends a lot of money. He wants to see some results also. But it's to make a good race team, you really got to dig down when things are not going good and try to get it back to where you're running pretty good every night. And you got to get through the bad times. That's always easy when everything comes out and falls in place. It's when your struggle really makes it tough.
And as you look back on your career with the World of Outlaws, what about the drivers that have come and gone through the series? What have been some of the common factors that drivers have had? And what about some of today's younger drivers that are coming in and making a name for themselves on the circuit these days? What's been the biggest difference overall in the drivers?
Well, it's not actually a whole lot of difference. You know, we've been through a lot of different drivers and different teams or different owners. Myself, especially, I think probably the only ones sort of hanging out there with is me and Sammy and still Honda. And Honda's not even with us this year. So, I think it's similar to the same. You know, it all goes back down. There's a lot of good race drivers out there that want to be able to go out and travel and race. It's just not a left race. Teams to get out there and want to. It takes a lot of money to get out here and support a team out on the road, and it's just getting tougher and tougher right now. So there's a lot of race teams that can stay around and once the racing gets started and the weather gets good, stay around in a 4 or 5 state area and probably it costs a lot less money to run and can make a little more money, to be honest with you, than what you can running up and down the road now. It's got so expensive to race. The motor programs the motors have just gone. All the motor pieces are just awful expensive, and you know they run them so hard, and it's just a lot of head work involved. And then valves are $2,000 a set for just valves. It's just crazy. It's the amount of money you got to spend right now, and it's not a fun place to be as a car owner right now. I can tell you that.
I can imagine. In terms of the cost of being on the road, how exponentially has that grown since 1978?
Oh, it's real expensive. You know, if you got to get 2 or 3 rooms a night, or at least a couple rooms a night, the rooms, if you get the cheapest motel you can find out there, most generally running up down the road, close to $80 to $100 a night, or maybe more so than that. And that's sort of the low end of anything. And the fuel prices is just is unbelievable right now to try to run a rig up and down the road and maybe a support rig with it. It's just There's a lot of money out there, and the tar bills went out of hand too. So it's just a tough situation right now.
Yeah, and hopefully that gas money the gas prices will start coming down at some point. We can only hope, right?
Yeah, well, we can only hope, I guess. It normally will if everybody just watches what they do and try not to drive a whole lot. It'll stack it up behind them, so that's about the only solution to it. I think if everybody continues just out there jumping in their vehicles and turning the key on every time they want, I think they'll fill the price as long as everybody can put up with it. But there will be a stop to it somewhere.
Yeah, we can only hope so, because we know how the fans are here in central Pennsylvania. You know what it's like coming to central Pennsylvania, and they will be out there in droves. Hey, speaking of that real quick, Steve, before we let you go, and we do appreciate your time talking with us here on the Sprint Car Report, just throwing out some of the tangibles you had just mentioned before, some of the larger fairground tracks aren't around as they are here in Pennsylvania. Of course, we have the big half mile, Sealands Grove, Port Royal, Lincoln, Williams Grove. And last year wasn't a pretty season for the Outlaws when you guys came in. You guys got served up pretty good, and you know how passionate their fans are. What are some of the other tangibles when you guys come in to race at the Grove that make it very difficult to try and beat the Pennsylvania Posse?
Well, I think in the last few years, a lot of the horsepower has come out of Pennsylvania right now, and even with some of our teams, some of the good horsepower is coming out, our top teams out of the eastern states and stuff right now. And you sit there and let those guys run every day and get their chassis dialed in and stuff like that. If you come here, you better have at least equal motors and stuff when you hit Williams Grove. And I think right now, just some of our race teams have got behind a little bit on some of that, along with especially Williams Grove. It's a racetrack that if you're there every week, it's tough, and that stuff goes and turns back and forth, so you never know what's going to happen. But they have been putting it hard, making it hard on us the last few trips.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss if I didn't say hello to our good friends over there at the Beer Hill Gang in Turn 3. Talk about your avid sprint car fans. They are Pennsylvania Posse through and through. Always a pleasure. Right now, of course, folks, he is the current points leader for the World of Outlaws, looking for his 21st title, and you guys are off to a great start. Continue best of success and luck for the remainder of the season, and we look forward to having you back here on the Sprint Car Report throughout the season.
Well, I appreciate the start we have and the thanks you got, Bevin, and always look forward to coming to Pennsylvania to race. It's as tough as it is there anywhere, man. And if you win your races out there, you feel good about it. So it's always a place we look forward to coming to race.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate your time today.
All right.
Steve Kinzer joining us here on the Sprint Car Report. We'll take a break and be back with more of our show right after this. With 30 years experience, Kinzer Air Filters is a trusted name in the racing industry. Their 360-degree dome positive charge air filter is the cleanest air filter on the market. From sprint cars and midgets to late models, drivers rely on Kinzer air filters as a brand they can trust while being economically affordable. It's easy to use and cleans with soap and water. To learn more, call Roger Kinzer at 812-327-7103. That's 812-327-7103, or visit KinzerDirect.com. Kinzer air filters, made in the USA. Welcome back, race fans, to the Sprint Car Report here on the Dirt Track Channel. Always a pleasure to have this guy on anytime we're talking auto racing, particularly non-wing sprint cars. They call him the Demon from Concord, California, Damian Gardner. Damian, always a pleasure to talk with you. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's always a pleasure to be on the show, and I'm doing good, man. Doing good.
Well, I have to say so. You get a last lap pass of John Stambrough on opening night. You take 2 out of 3 wins at Ocala to open up the USAC season. You're the points leader over Levi Jones. Could you have asked for a better opening 3-race deal for you and the team?
Oh, no, not really, man. I mean, not really. You know, I got my same crew, Chris and Warren, back from last year, so that's good to have. And I got my, let's call it, assistant crew chief, which guy had been with me for a long time. Before, back when I had my own team back in 02 and 03. He's back with me now, and I've been excited about that. And, you know, just finally worked out in his life or career that he could do it. And so, yeah, I'm excited to have all those, you know, all those guys working behind me, and just excited to get rolling into the whole 2011 season.
I guess it's safe to say now you found consistency and a home, correct?
Yeah. You know, Pat Kehoe, like at Pace Lighting, you know, he's the one originally, I mean, he brought me back from California back to the Midwest, and you know, he's kind of sought me out and found me out there and brought me back and made it possible for me to be able to run for the championship out there, you know.
And as we have talked before, you know, it's a different lifestyle from the Midwest to California and even here on the East Coast. How much have you grown to that lifestyle? And how much of a change have you seen in yourself as an individual over these past several years after making the move from California to Indiana?
Oh, I mean, you know, it's not a lot. I mean, it's different as far as living and stuff, you know. But, I mean, for me, I mean, I'm very, you know, I grew up very diverse, let's say. You know, they'll probably, I don't know what anyone thinks, but. You know, my mom is the city girl type of person, but very hard worker. And my dad, he was more of the country guy, and a hard worker too. So I grew up seeing both sides of that. So Indiana wasn't any shock in that sense. And that's not really an issue. It never was. It, you know, but as far as the weather goes, that's probably been the biggest shock.
not getting accustomed to those snowstorms, are you?
Not really, man. And I thought maybe, you know, but, you know, I'm a small guy and I'm the way I'm built. You know, I don't know if you're just, I think it's the way you're raised. You know, you're just raised in the cold, you're raised in the summer and the hot heat. And I'll tell you, I've been there about 4 and something years now, and I haven't got used to it at all. So I don't think I'm going to get used to it.
Well, the Beach Boys did, you know, do that endless summer deal, and that was their perfection, always chasing summer. And for those of us here in the East Coast, I never had a chance to see what that's like. I'd like to try that sometime just to see what it's like to go out to California. I mean, I've been to California before. That was for a whirlwind tour one weekend, but I haven't had a chance to spend a number of weeks out there. So, yeah, I can see where a guy like you, of your stature, yeah, maybe not getting used to those ice storms and snowstorms and seeing nothing but white on the ground for 3.5 months out of the year. That could take a little time to get used to.
Yeah, definitely. It definitely does. It makes it good, too, because, you know, I mean, I just work a lot then, so I just stay in my shop and get a lot of work done and you know, but that's you know, it's not a bad thing. But on the same hand, you know, if sometimes I think if I was at home, I'd be doing something outside in the winter months because it's not quite as cold out here in the winter.
Yeah, and you'd be wearing t-shirts and shorts, not parkas and gloves and 3 layers of clothing.
Yeah, exactly.
Speaking of shop, what have you guys done during the winter time that has enabled you guys to get off to such a hot start in USAC national sprint car scene?
You know, I mean, I think it's just putting people together. I mean, I think obviously having guys come back, you know, I mean, I've been with my sponsor now for 4 years, so that's always nice, you know, and he takes care of me and makes it so you have, like, you know, consistent and stable deal there. And then, you know, and then bringing back the guys that you had before is obviously important, because everything you've learned together and taught each other is going to play forward, you know. And then and being able to you know, basically, I mean, every year or even during the year, I just try to evaluate, you know, my weak spots and where I lack as a driver or where the car lacks, and then I try to kind of, you know, just think about it and just basically come up with a game plan to attack those tracks or attack that, you know, change my style of my driving a little bit. And then, you know, then you just have to, you know, it's just basically an educated guess, and then you just have to go try it out and you know, adapt on the fly, and hopefully, you know, you guess right and make it happen. And if you don't, then, you know, you're on to the next year, and you try something different, you know, and that's basically from people to different stuff. It's just, you know, that's why it's taken a couple of years, you know. I mean, I'm not from there. I mean, I didn't grow up racing Kokomo, so it's hard to figure it out, you know.
We're talking with Damian Gardner, the current USAC points leader for the national sprint car scene. And, Damian, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. At this juncture, you mentioned that you're looking at some of the weak spots that you had as a driver. As you look back these last 4 years and running places like Kokomo and Gas City and Bloomington, what weak spots have you been able to turn into strengths, and where do you still feel you need to work on as you run some of the great bull rings there in Indiana?
I think we're going pretty good at most of them. You know, there's always like a Bloomington where, you know, it's a really patient track. You got to run around the bottom. I mean, it's been said by Levi and Clausen, you know, that you, I mean, you barely, you know, I mean, when we run good there and then Clausen's won there. I mean, you're taking your sprint car, you're turning it, you know, you turn it typically 8,000 RPMs, and you go there and you might turn 65 the whole night, you know, as far as the main event. So it's really a patient deal, putt around the bottom and, putting yourself in the right position, like qualifying and getting to it. And basically the same thing. It comes down to just coming up with a setup that I feel comfortable with. And then obviously me making the right decisions, not getting impatient. And it's really hard at a Bloomington like to not get impatient, because you literally putt around the bottom. And, you know, the whole idea to pass a guy is get the guy in front of you excited so he hits the throttle a little too much, and then you just shoot up underneath him, you know. And, you know, that's part of it. I mean, there's like a few other tracks, a Terre Haute, you know, I've been fast there, but haven't really won there and haven't, you know, I mean, I've been close to the top five, but I need to get to the top three and win. And, you know, just step back and take a look at that stuff. You know, and that's what we're doing. So hopefully I've guessed right and we'll get a little better this year.
Of course, you guys have a little bit of time off until April when you head back and hit the tracks at Eldora and other places. And, of course, you'll be coming east in May and June. Do you feel that this might be the year Damian Gardner hoists that USAC National Sprint Car Championship trophy?
You know, I'd like to think so. I mean, you know, obviously these guys, they're tough, you know, every year. And, you know, obviously the guys that have been there before are going to be tough, and there's going to be some new guys rise up. I mean, that's how it always goes. You know, fortunately, I just hope that, you know, we come up with the best game plan, and that's my goal, is to try to be good every night, you know, and be a consistent guy. And, you know, part of that comes down to even just me as a driver. I have to make the right decisions, you know, and I can't, you know, I can't be going for it all the time. And I got to realize on the nights when I need to settle, you know, or get what I can, so say. But that's going to be key. But I don't, you know, I don't see any reason I can't be in the hunt this year. And, you know, when it comes down to the end, you know, I just need to be close. I need to be right there to strike at the end. And you know, I think we should have a shot.
Damian, it's always a pleasure to have you on the show. And best of luck as you guys continue on with the season in about a month for the USAC National Sprint Car Tour.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it, and looking forward to getting up there to Pennsylvania. And, you know, again, run decent up there, but I think hopefully this year we'll go back and I think we'll be able to run a little better, put on a really good show for the fans, and I just can't wait.
Should be interesting. Also, should be interesting to see the non-wing sprint cars out of the Port Royal Speedway for the first time in a long time, as that's part of the tour for the upcoming Eastern Swing. Hey, Damian, as always, thanks so much for your time. Greatly appreciate it, and we'll catch you down the road.
All right, man. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Damian Gardner, the Demon, and the current USAC points leader, joining us here on the Sprint Car Report. We're back with more of our show right after this. The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, Shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. Welcome back to the Sprint Car Report, everybody. Special thanks to our guest, the Demon, Damian Gardner, and the King of the Outlaws, Steve Kinzer. Here's a few things on tap for the next several weeks for Sprint Car Racing. Coming up Saturday afternoon, if you're not too far from the Los Angeles, California area, you head on over to the Paris Auto Speedway. They'll be admitting fans free to the grandstands. We'll watch a practice session. Gates open at 1, and they'll be going until 6 o'clock. The season opening race is set for March the 12th at the famed Paris Auto Speedway. The ASCS Gulf Coast region gets underway with two races this weekend. The All-Star Circuits of Champions, they're not back in action until April the 8th. Sammy Swindell is the points leader at the present time. And as we mentioned with Steve Kinzer, the World of Outlaws in Las Vegas for a Wednesday and Thursday night event. Well, here in central Pennsylvania, Mother Nature is still having her way as last week's Icebreaker 30 season opening for the Lincoln Speedway was postponed due to weather. They're going to try again this weekend. Same deal, 30 laps, $3,500 to win. Williams Grove opens up on March the 18th. Port Royal Speedway has postponed their Bug Day for this weekend, and they'll try again on March the 12th, and then on Sunday, March the 13th, the 63rd season of racing at the famed Snyder County Oval, better known as the Owens Grove Speedway, gets underway with 410 sprint cars and the Pro Stocks. That event taking place at 2 o'clock Sunday afternoon, March the 13th, and it's also a special hot lap session for big block and small block modifieds in anticipation for the upcoming Race of Champions weekend for the modifieds March 18th and 19th. The 358 sprint cars, the headline class at Sewens Grove, have their first race of the year on March the 26th. Well, that's all the time we have for today's broadcast. We thank you for listening. Again, thanks to our great sponsors and to Damian Gardner and Steve Kinzer for stopping by and chatting with us. We have a great lineup already building for next week. Hope you can make it Tuesday, March the 8th at noon right here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. For all this year, I'm Sean Wood. Thanks for listening. Have a great day, everybody.